I got a grand total of no trick-or-treaters this year.
Me neither.
No one came to my door.
Hmm. I was so sure there would be, because, you know, it was nice, wet, beautiful weather.
Yeah.
And it was staying light. And then I went out to eat with my wife. So maybe some kids came. It was already dark. Nobody egged the house. Nobody shaving cream.
No TPs?
I think they know that I'm weird. I think parents are afraid to send their kids over to our house because they see that I'm a little bizarre.
Maybe people do listen to us. Just my house neighbor, huh?
Well, there you go. Well, you... You're the John Mark Carr of Massapequa. No, you're not. I'm kidding. I joke.
I want you to know that
that's a lie.
Just for kicks, I must tell you.
Yeah.
I did go to one of those sexual offender websites because I figured, you know, maybe my neighbors think I'm a sexual offender. So I wanted to see how many...
Why would they... Oh, because you do all this kid stuff.
Yeah.
You're constantly working... Okay, yeah.
And I'm weird, you know, because I'm not married. I live alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like that loner thing. Oh, he was such a quiet man.
Kept to himself.
That's right. And I do. Oh, and I snort. And that was a new one. I can't do that again.
He's constantly carrying spray paint and styrofoam.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I get delivery. And deliveries of a lot of latex. What goes on there?
Well,
they're balloons.
And you have these sheds in your yard.
It's just,
every time a child goes missing, the police are going to those sheds.
Oh, my
God.
If one more cop knocks and goes, can we look at the shed? All right, fine.
But cops never did that, did they?
No.
Well, so they haven't found little...
They will now if they're tuned in at 12:40 a.m. But the rotting bodies are still there.
Ooh, yum.
Anyway, so...
Barbecue, yeah.
Barbecue.
That's my first clap of the day.
Not to mention barbecue.
Bob.
For Robert.
BBQ, Bernie Q.
Baby Q.
Not much meat on those, but tender.
Anyway,
yeah.
So... I'm trying to think. Oh, so I just went to a sexual offender website.
Uh-huh.
There are like, it was kind of an odd number, too. There are 69 sexual offenders in my neighborhood, and I'm not one of them.
And your neighborhood being just at your town?
Yeah,
or?
No, just in my area, and I live in Massapequa Park.
Well, you didn't have to tell everybody that,
there's
but okay.
69, and it's not me.
No, but isn't that, is that a town where they're specifically grouping them? Because they do
no,
that.
No.
Wow. Then so you probably see them every day. You, like, buy milk from one of them. And then,
yeah, who knows?
And, but the thing is, these sexual offenders
and I always,
are 99% harmless, I'm sure. They've never
They have different degrees on the website. So, right. Yeah, there were a couple bad ones. With
you mean a real rape kind
of? They had, like, red triangle people, yeah.
Ooh, where they sodomized little kids with red triangles.
I have
like,
no idea. But, wow. there was three. There was a yellow, an orange, and a red. So if you were yellow, it's like, you know, maybe they got into a domestic argument or something. I don't know.
Well, that wouldn't be...
I don't know what it was, but, you know, cool.
With
a little date rape between friends, right?
No, because we just had a show on here talking about how the diminution of detectives and how the guy, there's this fellow that they caught who was doing all these home invasions in Nassau. Mm. Remember the big panic about that, which was
legitimate panic.
Because home invasion is about as bad... as robbery gets.
Oh,
so that's
yeah.
really a rotten, horrible thing.
And?
So this guy's up for 25 years, and they got him dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge offers him to make a deal to avoid a trial. How much do you think the judge offered?
Oh, probably like 6 months, because God forbid these judges to sit in the courtroom on the trial.
Exactly. He offered him 12 years, half the time.
Well, that's not too bad.
This is a guy who was doing some serious ass home invasion.
And also, remember, when you get 12 years, you really get 6 years or something for good time.
Oh, you know? I wonder if he...
Yeah.
Even the good time thing holds?
Yeah.
Oh, that's messed up. I mean, obviously that is seriously messed up. So, literally...
I'll tell you the truth. 6 years is a tough time. Even 6 years.
The guy has already done 8 years for another offense. So, to him, prison's home. You know?
Yeah.
Well,
bad boy,
all I'm saying
home.
Is that we're talking about these detectives are actually having a protest. The cops are getting very involved in this because they felt when they got this guy, Long Island was a lot better and safer and felt a lot better. Mm. And now they go through all this, they find him,
and
they have him dead to rights
on
one thing that he did. Once they caught him, other things and other stopped happening, and the judge said, 12 years.
Why do they plea bargain a case that they know they're going to win?
Well, I guess mainly because... if you still have to bring it to trial, that's thousands and thousands of dollars and man hours and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
You know. Because still, there's going to be a lawyer. And still, a trial is never 100%. So look at O.J. Look at the O.J. A year and a half, yeah. A crazy Asian judge. You know, people on the jury, they had to get two alternates. And what happened?
Yeah.
Innocent? Not guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course he was guilty because he ended up having to pay, what, $40 million in a civil suit?
But he's still looking for the real killers, which is very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Also,
he found the real killers. He looked at his hands one day.
And he put soap in the house every day. Well, you know who else I'd like to talk to?
Who would you like to talk to, Jeff Goodman?
There's a little preacher, I think, down south.
Oh!
He only proves that he who denied it supplied it rule. It's true, though.
Well, he was vehemently anti-gay.
And he's buying drugs and supposedly having sex with this male prostitute. But as he said, it's only massage.
Massaging?
And he went there for a massage. He bought drugs and then he threw them away, which is what everyone does from their local male prostitute.
No, okay, I mean, he copped to buying the drugs. He copped to
why
it.
Would
he
you?
Said, I did it.
Yeah.
A, why would you buy and then throw them away?
I know.
Did you use them in a lecture and then when it was over?
He was taking them off the street.
And also, where would a preacher know to buy methamphetamine anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, I would go to 42nd Street, I could probably buy some weed, and I've never taken it in my life. But I know, you find a black guy going, you want some. Then, he's not saying money. Yeah, and he's standing there, so maybe, but this is a preacher not in the middle of New York City. Where's he again? He's like in Tennessee or Michigan or Utah.
He's in Arkansas or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And literally bum Arkansas, if you think about it.
Oh, that's true.
Or bum massage Arkansas.
That's right. He's in bum. That's our new word, bum massage
Arkansas. That gets my second clap of the night. Bum massage Arkansas. So, he knows how to get drugs.
Yeah.
He also obviously knows how to find a male prostitute. Remember how he said that he found it because he asked the hotel concierge? No, this is true. He said, how did you hook up with this man? And he said, well, the hotel concierge recommended a massage guy. And the guy Smith, the fellow who broke up all of this and put it to the paper, said, I don't know any hotel concierges. I don't know what hotel concierge recommends me. I do know that I advertise in gay porn magazines and websites.
You know what else is pretty funny? Because he didn't bring it up because of his position about him being anti-gay. He was anti-gay marriage, and that's why the prostitute.
He said he, and as his way of getting back and saying, I'm pro gay marriage, and this idiot is saying no to it.
But it's not like he's preaching this hatred and stuff against gay people.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, the guy was.
Oh, he was, yeah.
But
that's not the thing that most.
Reason. It's like because, he was anti gay wedding. It's like, no, he was anti gay people.
Everything, yeah. Well, maybe that was the thing that pushed him over. That was the
straw that broke
the, thank you.
The prostitute's back.
It massaged the hooker's bum.
Right.
It did. Let's see. Let's save the hanging stories for Dave's Gone By. I think we've got only...
Die, Saddam, die.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight!
There goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 195th edition of the one and only Dave's Gone By. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, your host, been here since October of 2002, and happy to be here every single week. And yes, he's back, ladies and gentlemen, my sometimes and always special guest co-host, Jeff Goodman. Don't bite into that sandwich. I'm going to go right on mic now, Jeff. Just for that. No, take the bite and then talk.
No.
Oh, very good. Okay. How are you doing, Jeff? How
I'm fine.
This is good.
And I'm awake this week.
Yeah, so what, just again, apologize.
I'm sorry. I slept through my show. I'm really sorry. I got home. I was tired. I was doing a lot of bar mitzvahs. And what happened? My father wakes me up when halfway through my sleep. And then I get up. And I called you, Dave, and I say, I'm going to be
there. Well, of course you called me Dave. That's my name.
That's right. Yeah. Then I said, I'm going to be there. And I said, I can't fall back to sleep. And then I fell back to sleep.
And you weren't, and unfortunately, was not able to make last week's show. So I did my best. And what was funny was the gospel people were so sweet. They gave us some extra time because birthday week.
Yes.
You were
turned. I missed my birthday show. Yeah. That wasn't nice of me.
It was the birthday show because at midnight you became... The big, oh no, the small 4-9 or the big 5-0?
The small 4-9.
Small 4-9. Well, Mazel Tov, belatedly, happy birthday. Oh, I have your card. I forgot to give
and
it
I'm
you.
A square root. Because 49 has a square root, too.
Lucky 7,
that's I'm
fine.
7 squared. So I should be very lucky.
You're
this
not
time.
A square, Jeff. No, you're definitely
I'm definitely round.
I did three claps in our pre-show. And that
claps.
Was my first clap. No, I did a third.
Oh.
There was one, it was a burp. There was one that was a good joke, and then there was another that was not
something
so good a joke, but I had to.
You clap. Said, I said something, you said something, and then you clapped. I didn't know you clapped for the burp.
Yeah, because I have the clap, so that's basically why I do.
And I will not burp on the real show because your parents and your wife will get mad at me.
Exactly. And you don't burp in front of Daphne Rubin Vega. Come on,
no,
this is
no.
So cool. This is
because she and I go way back, although she doesn't know it.
Let me explain. That our special guest, and I'm absolutely thrilled. We've had some, believe it or not, this program has had some fairly well-known people on it over the years. I mean, people like Neil Sedaka, and folks like Christine Lavin, and Chris Smither, and Peter Tork of the Monkees, and Julie Haggerty. I mean, you know, we've had some actual celebrities. Well, we've got one tonight, a Broadway actress, nominated for 2 Tonys. She's a Theatre World Award winner, I believe. Basically, it all started for her theatrically with Rent. She was the original Mimi, an iconic character in a pretty iconic show. Daphne Rubin Vega here in the neighborhood on this show. We're interviewing her in this hour. But, Jeff, you say that you...
I claim.
You claim. You can't prove. You were looking for the proof, but you couldn't find it.
I'll prove it.
Of seeing or being aware of Daphne Rubin Vega before
I
Rent.
I actually met her years in front of Rent. She was in a group called the, what was it?
Pajama Girls?
Something like that. The Pajama Girls. And she actually did a, I was doing a lot of volunteer work for the PWAC, the People with AIDS Coalition.
PWAC?
Yes.
It's like a masturbation society or what?
No, it's the People with AIDS Coalition, David.
Oh, so it is a masturbation society. No. Well, after, anyway. Oh, my bruises. I can't move my arm. Sorry. I'm hallucinating. Yes, start off the show with an AIDS joke. I figure I have to do something more offensive than Michael J. Fox routines, and what better than AIDS? So there you go. That's my Gilbert Gottfried moment. Now you may
I can't
continue.
Believe you didn't even have one odd moment there where you thought maybe what I'm doing is not right.
That always comes afterwards. That comes when, you know, I talk to my dad and he's like, "Hey, that was really wrong. I'm not listening again." And I talk to my wife and it's like, "You just don't realize you're offensive. You're not funny. You're offensive." So I'm like, "Thank you, honey."
But I tell you that all the time.
Shall we call our lawyers now? You know.
Okay. Well, that was pretty offensive.
Yeah.
So we were doing a party and. We got, I'm trying to think, we called up, like, local celebrities to see if they'd come, and attend. We called.
PWAC indeed.
Shut
with a knickknack, PWAC.
Oh, my God.
Give yourself a bone. Okay, sorry. I'll be good. Okay. Woo! Yeah,
so, anyway.
I'm really overtired. I had such a busy week this week, so I'm also, like, I'm like you were last week, just...
So we called local celebrities to see if they would attend the party, and we called up one of the Mets players named, I forgot what his name was,
I did not realize that Brett Saberhagen was a Met for like 3 years, because he's best known as a Royal, but Saberhagen.
So we called Brett Saberhagen, well not me, someone, mm-hmm. And he said he had his girlfriend was in this group called the Pajama Party Girls or something like that.
Yeah, right. The Pajama Ames Girls.
Oh, no. Really, you are overtired.
The AIDS victim.
You are, like,
As opposed to the AIDS victim.
Stop it. Dave, please.
Right. So tell your Brent Saberhagen story.
I'm trying to, but you're just trying to be offensive.
Yes, pretty much. Okay.
So anyway, what happened was that the girlfriend arrived. I have to be very careful with my words. So the girlfriend, they arrived, and it turns out the other person in the pajama party girl was Daphne Rubin Vega, although I didn't, well, I knew it at the time, but I didn't know she was going to be Daphne Rubin Vega of Rent. So, and
then did she.
And
yeah.
they were actually pretty good, surprisingly
enough.
What
kind of music was it? What were they?
It was kind of popish disco, I think.
Okay.
And they did dances and kind of a little pseudo-lesbianism stuff, yeah.
Okay.
And they wore, like, you know, not a lot of clothing on stage.
Nice.
So, yeah, yeah. Oh, and they're very attractive, very limber, if I remember.
Oh.
And I have pictures that prove this.
Yeah, you were going to bring them in, but somehow they got lost.
I don't
mean?
Know. Where's my Daphne Rubin Vega picture when I need it?
No, I mean, she has a bob, though. I mean, I didn't realize that in Rent or Anne in the Tropics, but I've seen some pictures. I'm like, whoa, when did she grow those?
She's a hot mommy.
I thought either she had some work done or maybe after she has a kid. So maybe, like, after the little baby came.
She always had a body, though. She
I didn't know. Yeah. Well, according to a song that we will hear in this hour, her character, Mimi, has the best ass below 14th Street.
That's right.
So I guess that's one of the reasons she got the gig.
Yeah, well, and she's quite the wild child, it seems. So
maybe not anymore. She's now a child.
No. We're talking, this is like early 80s.
Right?
Wow. No, early 90s. Early 90s.
Or, yeah, early to yeah.
I get my decades mixed up. You know, senility, 49, senility comes in.
VH1 hasn't covered them yet.
That's right. So this was like early 90s.
But she was, when you said wild, was she like doing drugs in the bathroom?
Well, I don't know about that, but she just, you know, she's fun, you know.
Oh,
she's
cool.
Like someone you want to hang out with. And being a wild child is a good thing, by the way, for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I was not a wild
but
child.
But
yeah.
And honestly, they donated their time. This was all.
Oh,
everything
it was all
was a donation.
Yeah.
Brett Saberhagen showed up. It was really very nice. And they were like cool, but they were just wild and crazy, which I loved. And and then years later, she didn't look that familiar, but I was reading and I said, what? And I'm reading her bio in Rent.
Yeah.
In the first time I saw it, which I'll tell you is a whole another story too. And I'm reading her bio, and I go, I think I've seen her before. And, of course, so I flip back to my
pajama.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So let's we have a couple of minutes before we bring on Daphne. Why don't you tell your special connection also to Rent? Because you hooked on to that show before it became this huge thing in the Times and before the big, horrible story of its dress rehearsal. Or was it after he had?
No, he died right before their first
open dress, right?
Yeah.
So you saw it after that. Right?
I saw it like a week or two after he died. Yeah.
Right. But tell us about the night that you saw Rent that first time.
That was
off Broadway.
That was a weird night. I called a lot of friends. I said, "Do you want to see a show? What's it called? Oh, it's a show called Rent. It's based on La Boheme."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "And it's supposed to be an update of La Boheme. You want to go?" No. I got about 50 no's, and it was. Either, I'm pretty sure it was February 12th, but it could have been.
You've got that many no's, you should learn to pick your no's. There you go. Thank you very much. Keep going.
Okay. So, good God. Anyway, so I was calling people. They said no. And I remember it was either the actual Washington's birthday or Lincoln's birthday. I'm pretty sure it was Lincoln's birthday on the 12th, but I could be wrong. It could have been the 22nd.
Okay. No one cares. Yeah. And?
I care. That's always a part of my story.
All right.
So I went to the theater alone. I drove, but surprisingly, there was a spot right in front of. Of course, it was. Oh, it was also really, really snowy. It was on a really snowy winter.
Okay, yeah.
And it was like, it was another big snowstorm was coming.
That's why nobody wanted to go with you. It was a nasty, horrible.
But
night.
I told everyone I was going to drive in, and it was all the way downtown. It was, you know, at.
Well, it was New York Theater Workshop, right?
Yeah, which is tough to get to if you
by
subway.
All the way on
East 4th.
Yeah.
But I love going there. I think it's a great place, by the way. You should always go to New York Theater Workshop. And so I went there, and the press agent met me, and it's like I was like the first one there because I don't know how I got through, and I parked right in front of the theater, which was like the best parking place I've ever gotten in New York, ever. So I parked in front, and I met the press agent, and he goes, "Oh, well, you know about the terrible story about the author?" I said, "No." I said, "He died a couple of weeks ago before the show opened." I said, "Wow." You know, and I was reading all the press information. I'm sitting down, And as far as I remember, probably two-thirds of the audience didn't show up that night because it was such bad weather.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't really make a difference because as the show opened and the Rent came up, they did Rent, and they went, well, that's pretty good. I said, well, it's only the first song. Then Tango Maureen comes on, and song after song, I'm going, wow, this is great, this is great. And it was one of the really best. I love going to see shows, and you don't expect it, and they're just fantastic. And it was one of these experiences where you're transported. It's like an out-of-body experience for me. It's really weird. Like, I just loved it so much, I wasn't even aware of anyone around me. I was so totally into the musical.
Wow.
And it just transported me. It was wonderful. And so I always tell people, I saw Rent before it was Rent. And I knew Daphne Vega before she was Daphne Rubin Vega, even though she doesn't know it.
Cool story. Cool. I mean, and as I said, you're not telling the story, oh, like, I was there that open dress rehearsal night. And so, it was a week later, but still, it had not become the phenomenon.
No.
And certainly hadn't been picked up and moved to Broadway, where, gosh.
And by the way, you know what all those people that all the people, when Rent was opening on Broadway, all the people who said no called me and asked if they can come to see it with me on the Broadway opening. And you know what I said? No, I asked you already.
Ooh. Well,
no,
fair enough, yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously what? It has to be
those
a hit.
Those silly people didn't want to die in a car accident in a horrible snowstorm. What are the odds? Oh, well.
Am I still here? Didn't I get a great parking space?
You're still here? Well, yeah. Of course I got good. No, because nobody else was dumb enough to drive into Manhattan that night. You know?
Well, I was living in Forest Hills at the time.
Even so.
No, I wasn't.
You can take in the E train. Well, yeah, no, that would have been.
No, I wasn't. I was living, because that opened 10 years ago, right? No,
yeah,
I was living
just
out.
About. Yeah.
I was living out here.
Okay.
Wow. I drove a long way.
Yeah, you did. In miserable weather. You could have gotten stuck in New York.
But I would, if I, you would have done it again. If I was guaranteed that experience, I would do it in 10 feet of snow.
Hmm.
It was one of the best theater experiences of my life.
Well, you know, we're going to indulge a little bit in a bit of Rent nostalgia tonight because we've got one of the actresses. And then if you think about it, there was that funny song. What's the, is it from that show? Oh, no, it was in Runaways, where there's a song, Where Are Those People Who Did Hair?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was from Runaways.
That's Runaways, yeah.
And it's just, well, whatever happened to them. I mean, Diane Keaton obviously went somewhere and whoever else.
The movie? One of them was another friend of mine who unfortunately passed away. Lynn Thigpen was in Rent.
Well, that's in the movie, though. Or was she in the original?
No, she was in the movie.
They were talking about the original broadcast. Where are those people who did Hair? Well, if you ask where are those people who did Rent, you've got Idina Menzel,
mm-hmm.
who is a Broadway goddess from Wicked. You've got
Adam Pascal,
who was doing
Aida.
Aida, right. Who else? Who else? The Jesse L. Martin,
mm-hmm.
who is from Law and Order. Tay Diggs,
mm-hmm.
who had that big, she's like a big black sex symbol now, and just like one after the other after the other.
No, there's another very well-known one, Tony Award winner, who was also in the cast.
The one who played Angel? Wait, no, who?
No. Angel, surprisingly, like, I think he's with the traveling Puerto Rican theater company or something.
Oh, okay.
You never hear about him. No, who was in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
Norbert Leo Butz. He was in the original Rent cast.
Yes, he was.
So there you go. And of course, you've got Daphne Rubin Vega, who went on to do a couple of off-Broadway shows like Two Sisters and a Piano, and there was another one that she did that she got some very good reviews for.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, on Broadway, Anna in the Tropics, which was Pulitzer-winning play.
And strangely enough, was not in the movie of Rent.
Well, yeah, well, she could have passed still and done it. I don't
But she was pregnant.
Oh, well,
and she has to wear that cat suit. It's kind of hard.
Yeah. Oh, well, true. But we have her here tonight, Daphne Rubin Vega, talking about Rent, talking about Les Mis that she's going into because they're bringing Les Mis back. It's only been gone 3 years, but they're bringing it back. And she is playing Fantine. So, please, we'll be welcoming her in just a moment or two. Got to do a little business. Got to remind people that our sponsors, oh, my gosh, I forgot to mention, are Hewlett Minuteman Press, MortgagesRock.com, Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, and Fancy Schmancy Balloons, about which you will hear much anon. But let's get to the commercials, and let's get to Daphne.
Yay.
You're in my head. I can't get
I've been telling you since the show began about the wonderful folks at Hewlett Minuteman Press, but here's one of the owners, Mike Toron, to tell you why you should go there.
Yeah, hi, I'm Mike Toron. We're Minuteman Press, located in Hewlett, New York. We're a family-owned business celebrating our 31st year. Our address is 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. We're directly next to Roman's Women's Shoes. Our phone number is 516-569-5577, or you could email us at minutemanpress@att.net.
What's playing on Broadway? I'll tell you what's playing on Broadway, and I'll do it by checking Performing Arts Insider. Off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, off-off-off-Broadway. You keep adding offs, they'll keep adding listings. Who's in the cast? What's it about? Why is it special? Performing Arts Insider is Broadway the best way. 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511. Or see PerformingArtsInsider.com. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and as people who've listened to this show even for a little while or maybe all the way back from the beginning must know, I'm a huge, huge theater fan. I've been a theater critic for almost 20 years. I've run a couple of theater websites. I co-publish a theater journal, love plays and musicals and the whole thing, so it's always a thrill for me to talk to people involved in the theater, be they directors or producers, certainly playwrights, but also actors and actresses and singers. And so it's really exciting to be able to talk to my next guest on Dave's Gone By. This is a woman who has gotten two Tony nominations, one for one of the major musicals of the past decade or so, Daphne Rubin Vega, and of course you would know her probably best for the musical Rent, which was that extraordinary experience, first downtown off-Broadway, and then they brought it to Broadway where it's been playing and has become one of the longest-running musicals ever. Not only that, she's also been on Broadway in a Nilo Cruz play, Anna in the Tropics, which won the Pulitzer Prize. And now, Daphne's doing Les Mis, because they're bringing Les Mis back, and she's going to be playing Fantine. So, yes, we actually have a Broadway star on Dave's Gone By, and I'm so happy to welcome to the neighborhood Daphne Rubin Vega.
Yeah, I'm actually in the stairwell of the rehearsal space, so we've got good acoustics. Let's just hope a bunch of frolicking ballerinas don't come running down.
Well, they're welcome to come frolicking here anytime. I'd love to see bunches of frolicking ballerinas.
Where are you, by the way?
The station is in Babylon, Long Island.
Oh, okay.
So, technically it's in Freeport because the tower's there, but we're actually in bed. Don't even make me explain it. Somewhere
Babylon.
In New York.
I yeah. like Babylon.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So you're from this area. You're coming from around here or New Yorkish?
No,
well,
I'm
Panama.
I hail originally from Panama,
mm-hmm.
the country, and I grew up in actually the West Village. So I was kitchen, and then we moved to the West Village when I was 11. So.
And the typical question then: at what point did you realize that what you wanted to do is what you are doing?
I think I always, as far as I can remember, wanted to do what I was doing, but I thought that everybody wanted to be some form of performer. I really did. I guess when I started to pick up a backstage and just go to auditions, and just try to get into anything, that's when I realized that I really wanted to do it.
Do you remember your first gig that you got as sort of a semi-adult, or?
Yeah, my first gig was a play
mm-hmm.
called something like Dancing, something about dancing with her feet on her. I don't even remember the title, but.
And it lasted three performances and no.
It lasted like 2 weeks, and it was a very strange performance, strange play at the Ohio Theater in Soho.
Oh.
I remember my payment for the job was a Tibetan head, a wooden head that apparently hailed from Tibet, as far as what the director told me. And I remember lugging that thing, carrying it home, and I still have it. It's quite an impressive piece.
It's a good totem. And so after getting through that experience, though, even though that was your only payment and stuff, you were hooked. You said, I still want to do this. I want to do more. And what was the first bigger kind of gig that you got?
Singing in Pajama Party. It was a girl group.
Hmm.
Three girls. We sang the songs written by these producers, Peggy Senders and Jim Klein. And basically, we were the warm bodies that performed the songs that they wrote. We did two albums on Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, we went through maybe like six different girls. I was the only one who kind of stayed hung in there, but that was because I was so happy to be performing. I was choreographing. I was doing whatever, you know, they wanted me to do, like picking costumes made out of, you know, as little as possible. You know, we were basically wearing glorified underwear.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
I missed that.
But you had
not literally, but sort of a pair on you, because according to a bio I read on you, you were at a David Bowie recording session.
Yeah.
And Arif Martin was producing that, or he was
correct. He just recently passed away, sadly.
Oh.
But yeah, he ended up producing the Rent soundtrack, the original Broadway soundtrack. So,
but you had met him
10 years earlier than that. I was hanging out with my very good friend Mark Stevens. And I was doing homework. That's how long ago it was, because, God, it's been a while since I did homework. He called me and he said, my sister's at a recording session with David Bowie. And I was mad about David Bowie, and I was mad about his sister, who is Chaka Khan. And
Wait. What?
My friend's sister.
Oh, your friend's sister. I thought David Bowie's sister was Chaka Khan. I'm like,
that's not true.
Okay, just checking.
No, my friend's sister is Chaka Khan.
Oh, wow,
and
okay.
And she was, you know, I thought she, you know, didn't get any better than Chaka, except for maybe David Bowie. So he's like, you know, Chaka's singing with David Bowie at this session, this recording session, and, you know, why don't you come hang out and watch? And so I just dropped everything and went over there, and it was an extravaganza of talent. It was Luther Vandross was there, Sissy Houston was there, Fonzie Thornton, who's like a serious session singer, was there. A lot of like amazing voices were there, and singing background for a soundtrack to a George Lucas film called Labyrinth.
Oh, right.
That David Bowie was in, and Arif was producing that. So I was sitting there basically with my completely slack-jawed and...
Sure.
And yeah, I harnessed the pair and went up to Arif and said, please let me sing. You know, I just thought if I didn't ask, I would die. There are those moments in your life when you know you gotta... If you don't ask, you don't get.
Uh-huh.
And there was nothing I could lose, you know. And I mean, and so he gave me a pair of his songs, and I sang, you know, back in this room with all these heavy hitters. So I put that on my resume.
Well, yeah.
And then, at another point in time, his son, Arif Martin's son, Joe, had a birthday, and I implicated myself into that party somehow, I guess, you know, through my friend Mark, and so we all sang happy birthday to Joe. So I wrote that I had sung with all these people, and when the producers of Pajama Party saw my credits, they hired me practically on the spot.
Wow.
So that's how that came about.
From singing happy birthday, still, it's, you know, that's excellent. Hey, Dave's Gone By listeners. If you like hearing me, you love reading me even more. So hurry and get my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with hilarious plays that were performed in New York, like King Solomon the Wise and Blind Date. 232 pages of pure Dave. Only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback. To get your copy, call 516-295-1511 or visit the Dave's Gone By website. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. We are talking with actress Daphne Rubin Vega. She's in the new revival of Les Mis that is opening this week. You might also know her because she was in Anna in the Tropics, and she was Tony nominated for that. And of course, she received the Tony nomination for playing Mimi in the original cast of Rent. So let's talk to Daphne about that right now. Now, we've got to tell. I'm sure you've told it 4 million times, but got to ask about the Rent story. And leading up to
which
that in the opening night. Well, first of all, trying out for getting involved in the process of when that show was first being put together.
Yeah.
And then up until that extraordinary off-Broadway opening night.
Yeah. What part of it do you want to know?
All of it. Well, also,
by the time when I auditioned for Rent, I had been doing a show at Caroline's Comedy Club called El Barrio USA. It was like a Latino comedy troupe.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting paid like $10, and we performed like every Tuesday night and just did these different skits. And I was terribly unfunny. I was there because I had been, Pajama Party was already an experience that had come and gone. We had done two albums, and we had one song called Yo No Sé, which was a marginal hit. I mean, it helped us pay the rent for a while.
Good.
But then after two albums, kind of just waned. And I was doing this comedy show, and at the time I had a beeper. I remember the beeper. And my agent, I had an agent, and she called me and she said, there's a rock opera by the name of Rent, I want you to go in for it. And I was I was intimidated by singing a little bit, even though I was a singer. I didn't want to mix music and acting. I thought that was sort of minimizing, diluting, bastardizing both genres. I was not a huge musical theater person, and I wanted to keep, my drama and my music, separate, because I thought that was more legitimizing. But then when she said that Rent was a modern take on La Bohème, and that Mimi, in this instance, was not like a consumptive seamstress, that she was a stripper with a stripper junkie with AIDS.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah. Somewhere deep down, you scratch any one of us, and you'll find a Mimi. I said that just completely intrigued me. So I went for it, and I auditioned a couple of times. I think that my advantage was that I grew up with brothers who had a rock and roll band, so I was not afraid to sing rock and roll, which is what they wanted. I went in there singing Roxanne by the Police.
Oh, wow.
So they gave me...
they put on the green
track.
Light. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
They put on the green light for it now. Yeah.
They put the green light on for me. They gave me a tape of Out Tonight. They told me to learn it and come back. And I did. And, I think like the ripped fishnets and the super micro mini tartan skirt and, the very East Village look helped me out, because that was part of my experience. I mean, I knew what it looked like to look like an East Village person and not kind of fake it, which a lot of the kids were doing at the time, because they did come from a musical theater place, so... I think that they considered me the real thing in the context of Rent.
Right.
I think I had an advantage, but I certainly didn't have to break my ass.
You were closer to it, yeah. But you were part of also, the musical it was still in process while it was going on. So it wasn't just a set thing like going into a pre-written musical and it was all there.
It was a work in progress. I think that they weren't really sure. I think the original description of what they wanted for Mimi was a cross between Gloria Estefan and Sinead O'Connor.
Hmm.
Does that make any sense at all?
Kind of does. Although that also crosses over into the to Maureen in a little, in a kind of a way.
Yeah, I think that there were, you know, they weren't sure. They had a basic sketches of what they wanted, but I mean it was early workshop stuff. So we contributed greatly into the creation of the characters. I mean, when I went in 94, the workshop, there were songs that have since been cut. There are songs that one character had that, you know, I ended up singing and vice versa.
Oh, what song was that? What was the song?
Without You was a song between, I think, Joanne and Mark about Maureen.
Huh.
Because they found it more appropriate for Mimi to be singing it and Roger to be singing it about each other. So, you know, minutia like that. Yeah. Well, that's not a minutia, actually. That was a big thing. There was a song that Mimi sang, that I sang, called Valentine's Day. That was, you know, beat me till I'm black and blue and gray. Draw a little... heart, draw a little arrow, draw a little blood. This is a Valentine's Day. It was a little S&M-y kind of song. And it got summarily cut.
Oh, well, yeah. No, my wife and I are still singing on Valentine's Day. It's kind of a, you know, just a little, no, not true.
I know.
So that first, though, all right, I mean, I have to get, of course, to that opening night and the experience of what happened and what it must have felt like.
You mean the invited dress rehearsal after?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was it the invited dress rehearsal? Yeah.
Yeah, that was. You know, it's hard to put that in perspective because, you know, it was truly.
If people don't know, what happened was that the composer and the guy who created Rent died.
Jonathan Larson. Yeah. Passed away. He went home after seeing the very first run-through of Rent, because we had never run it through with costumes and makeup before. It had always been done piecemeal because we were in the rehearsal process. And so the first invited dress rehearsal before opening, it was before we'd ever done it without stopping, and we actually threatened that if we needed to, we would stop, which is, you know, kind of standard when you're starting something, and it's, you know, for technical purposes. And it was the first time we actually ran it through quite successfully. It was a magical experience. He was there to see that, and then after that, he had an interview with, I think, Anthony Tomasini from the New York Times, and he went home. He put on the pot of water to make some tea, and passed away. His heart exploded. We thought a couple of days prior that he wasn't feeling well, and he went to the doctor, and they thought that he had food poisoning, and, you know, they weren't really sure what was going on, but he actually was suffering from an aneurysm in his heart, which they later found out that he had Marfan syndrome, which is not incredibly uncommon, but it is a detectable.
And it was, had they known that he had it in time, they could have treated it, and he would have assumed
tragically, it. Tragically, that is the case.
And then you had to come back and do a show.
Idina Menzel called me the next day, because I guess Jim Nicola, who was the artistic director of the New York Theater Workshop, had heard that Jonathan passed away. His roommate, Jonathan's roommate, came home and found him on the floor. And so Jim started calling all of us, and I guess he called Adina called me, we all went to the theater, and it was just devastating, you know, open, full-out tears, and fear, and concern about what we're going to do with this baby that we had, and the helmsman, missing. So,
Had it been like, there's a ballerinas. There.
Some trainers coming down. And so we decided to, that was the night we were supposed to open. We decided, like, out of respect to ourselves and the families, that we would continue and to Jonathan, that we would do a seated reading without costumes or makeup. We would just do a seated reading, of the show. But by the time the second act came up, we were so pumped up and just channeling, you know, love. I think that, you know, I'll speak for myself, but I mean, actually, for all of us, we felt like ambassadors of this mission that was Rent. That it was a story about love. It was a story about friendship, harmony, and love. So we were giving it all that we had. By the second act, we put on our costumes and did it the way we were supposed to do it. It was a very magical experience because we felt that Jonathan was there. You know, I mean, when you have such an incredible sort of experience like that,
he's going to be there in spirit no matter
what. Yeah. I mean, we always sort of conjured him. You know, it made us a little crazy for a while. I mean, I didn't know whether Rent was a success because it was really good. I mean, I thought it was good. I always loved it before Jonathan passed away. But I was a little wary of, you know, people's reasons for loving it.
Wanting to watch a
car crash or something.
Well, but by the time it got to Broadway, I assume there was no question then that people really wanted to see it for what it is. Now it's been there, what, 8 years, is it? Or
10 years,
my goodness.
It's 10 years, yeah, it's amazing.
Would you ever, you're obviously doing so much other stuff, and of course I want to ask about Les Mis, but would you ever go back for a little period, or is that...
I might. But, Dave, you know what? I have to go back to rehearsal. Can we resume this? I really feel badly because I know that I was supposed to call you much earlier.
No, this is so... I mean, we'll do a part two. This will be like...
Can we do a part two?
Definitely part
one.
I can't do it today, but we can certainly do it another time.
Please, let's do. You have my number.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe this... Well, I don't know. Let's work on something.
We'll work it out, because this has been great fun. Daphne Rubin-Vega, best of luck with you're playing Fontaine in Les Mis, the revival coming to Broadway right now.
Yeah.
So everybody go see it. What are you rehearsing today, and then I'll let you go. Just what are you working on?
We're working on Act 2. I guess when I come back as a ghost, and we're going to finish up the show right now.
Oh, very well. Have a great rehearsal. Have a
great show.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What do you forget?
Got a light.
I know you're shivering.
It's nothing, they turned off my heat. And I'm just a little weak on my feet. Would you light my candle? What are you staring at?
Nothing, your hair in the moonlight. You look familiar. Can you make it?
Just haven't eaten much today. At least the room stopped spinning anyway. What?
Nothing. Your smile reminded me of...
Always remind people of who is she?
She died. Her name was April.
It's out again. Sorry about your friend. Would you light my candle?
Well... the wax is
dripping. I like it between my
fingers. I figured, oh well, good night. It blew out again.
No, I think that I dropped my stash.
I know I've seen you out and about when I used to go out. Your candle's out.
I'm in, I had it when I walked in the door. It was pure. Is it on the floor?
More?
They say that I have the best ass. below 14th Street. Is it true?
What?
You're staring again.
Oh no, I mean you do. Have a nice, I mean, you look familiar.
Like your dead girlfriend.
Only when you smile, but I'm sure I've seen you somewhere else.
Do you go to the Cat Scratch Club? That's where I work, I dance. Help me look.
Yes, they used to tie you up.
It's a living.
I didn't recognize you without the handcuffs.
We could light the candle.
Forget that stuff. You look like you're 16.
I'm 19, but I'm older for my age. I'm just born to be bad.
I once was born to be bad. I used to shiver like that.
I have no heat.
I used to sweat.
I got a cold.
I used to be a junkie.
But now and then I like to feel good.
Oh, here.
What's that?
A candy bar wrapper.
Light the candle.
That was my last match.
Our eyes in the dust. Thank God for the moon.
Maybe it's not the moon at all. I hear Spike Lee shooting down the street.
Bahamburg. Like my father. Do you want to dance?
With you?
No. With my father.
I'm Roger.
They call me. Me.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
What?
There are 168 hours in a week, but Dave's Gone By is only 1 hour long.
I know, I'm just on Sunday nights.
But that's not enough!
Well, why don't you just get my CDs?
CDs?
All my complete shows are on compact disc, $11 a piece, or less if you buy more. Just go to davesgoneby.org. Fully packaged, they make a nice gift, too.
Wow, my depression is cleared!
Great!
But not my psychosis? What chicken is this?
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, and I'm your everything theater guy, Dave Lefkowitz, here on Dave's Gone By with the Inside Broadway segment, and my guest co-host, Jeff Goodman, here to talk about Broadway.
And yes, Dave, you're just my everything.
Oh, isn't that so sweet? And you're my little peewack. Yes, you are. You're my very own little peewack.
Stop making fun of them!
And unfortunately, the weird thing is that both Jeff and I have such different schedules that he's seen a Broadway show that I haven't, and I've seen a couple of shows that he hasn't. So we're not really going to
And we both don't
much.
Get invited to anything.
Well, no, I'm happily invited to a few things and unhappily invited to one or two things as well. Probably the best of what I saw this particular week was Grey Gardens. I'd seen it all. Did you see it off-Broadway?
No.
When it ran, you didn't even see it off-Broadway?
You didn't invite me.
Well, sorry about that. And I am sorry, because it's a good musical. It's a good high-level work. I'm not excited about it, nor was I when it was off-Broadway. But there is a sense of craft and a level of professionalism there that you really don't get.
Why don't you tell us what
it's
about?
Anymore. It's about the Beals, or the Bouviers, I should say, like the pre-Kennedy people. This was a woman of Edith Beal, was of this family that had money but was kind of starting to go downhill a little bit. And so she was hoping...
This is the family Jackie came from.
Exactly, Jackie Bouvier, who ended up marrying a Kennedy. Well, there was another Bouvier, or Beal, I should say, who almost married a different Kennedy 30 or 40 years earlier, almost married Joseph Kennedy, which would have solidified her standing, brought her into a much richer family, may have made her a first lady, had Joseph, of course, not gone flying.
and who knew at that point? But all her hopes at that point were resting upon being able to marry this man and get out of her family and go into a quote-unquote a better one. Of course, her father, you know, was absent, and her grandfather thought garbage of the women in the family. And then she's got her mother to contend with, who is just a teeny bit loopy. Still high-toned, but also loves music and loves to give recitals whether people want to hear them or not. And so she's praying that her mother will not ruin her chances by saying something stupid or behaving badly at the engagement party. Well, that's pretty much the whole first act right there. And then in the second act, we see them in the 1970s. The mother and daughter are now living together in the same house called Grey Gardens. And it has gone from being this rather nice semi-palatial thing with servants and maids to being overrun with fleas and mice and tins of cat food and everything in complete disrepair to the extent that it was condemned. The newspapers wrote about it, and it took Jackie Onassis to donate and get things going just to save the place, and you know, because they had become an embarrassment to her. So the musical is about, it's obviously a fairly small-scale musical, kind of almost a surprise that it moved from off-Broadway to Broadway. What brought it there, if you read all the reviews, was Christine Ebersole, who just got she got great reviews off-Broadway, and on Broadway they're calling her the second coming of everybody, of Merman and Peters and Mary Martin all rolled into one. She's really good. She's absolutely terrific. Whether she was that fantastic, I don't know. I didn't really feel it that way. There was a guy behind me, I was telling you off mic, at the performance. And he was great during the first act. I mean, because the first act is really very flowy and quite good and of a piece. But when the second act comes on, everything that Christine Ebersole, if she moved an eyebrow, he was like, yay! Yay! Constantly. And that killed me because I couldn't go around and go, shh. And I couldn't say, stop talking, because he wasn't doing anything wrong. But all he was doing was going overly, ridiculously berserk.
He was overly enthusiastic.
Yeah. And I think he may have been a producer, which would have made sense, because this was just before the reviews came out, just before it opened. Or maybe he was like the critic for the Times, who went completely ape nuts berserk over Ebersole.
Or he's stalking Christine Ebersole.
Yeah, right. Although Brantley was right in the Times. So when she goes, ba-da-da-da-da. It really is quite a wonderful moment in the beginning of the second act. I can't explain why, so you do have to see. But the other actors are really good.
Now, I had heard from someone when I saw a show that she told me she hated the first act, but the second act was fantastic. Was that true?
In fact, off Broadway, the first act really dragged a bit, and they tightened it here. It's much better on Broadway, the first act, but the second act feels still too long for what it's about, because it really is just them living and getting on each other's nerves and trying to impress this young boy who helps them out a little bit with some food and with errands and making sure everything doesn't fall completely apart. And then will the daughter finally leave, or will she stay and take care of her mother who's not going to live forever, although she keeps hanging on and hanging on. But second act, it's funny, the second act has more interesting and more tuneful music. And yet the first act is somehow now a better piece, I think.
Okay.
I mean, it's a worthy, very worthy piece, and I'm glad I saw it again. And it is a musical you want the CD of, because I think, unlike, say, The Light in the Piazza, where I was bored on Broadway, and I tried listening to the CD, and I said, God damn, I can't listen to this music. It's just not tuneful. I'm sorry.
Right, right.
Okay, that was my take on Grey Gardens. I also saw the Bob Dylan musical, The Times They Are A-Changin'.
Are they?
I wish they had changed more. I wish they had changed choreographer directors, because Twyla Tharp, I don't know what was in her mind. I mean, I can understand putting a carnival, surreal backdrop and in a story to Bob Dylan's music. Mm-hmm. He's had carnival imagery throughout his career. It fits.
Because you're a big Bob Dylan fan, so.
No one surpasses Bob Dylan in the history of popular music for me. Not Sondheim, not Gershwin, nobody. He is the man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you do him right, okay? And what you know is this story, stupid story of this carnival barter who's a sadist, really nasty to all the clowns and all the freaks and the performers.
Oh, he's mean to the clowns.
He's mean to every... He's hitting them, he's punching them, he strangles a dog.
But it should tell you what kind of story this has, because we see that he strangles a dog, and then the dog reappears one scene later. Like, what? Is it alive? Didn't you just kill it? So Twilight Harbor just has no idea what the hell is going on.
Do they have a worse book than Mamma Mia?
Oh, Mamma Mia. No, Mamma Mia had a book. This doesn't have a book. This has a bunch of Dylan songs strung together that seem to be a story, but it's really not. It doesn't even make... Then you see the Carnival Barker. It looks like he's being beaten to death. They finally gang up on him and beat him to death. But then he has a solo song where it seems like he's going to hell. You know, he's knocking on heaven's door and okay. Not dark yet. And then he's alive, and then he dies. It's the weirdest, and it's just not... There's not much dancing. It's all acrobatics, but not exciting acrobatics.
Really?
Because you see people jumping on trampolines. The magic of it is if you build a tension...
Oh, she's been seeing too much Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, or not enough of it. Because she didn't learn that it's about the mood and the motif, and or if you're Penn and Teller, they're saying something funny, and that gets you laughing while they're doing juggling and amazing.
Right.
No, it's just a lot of clowns and things bouncing and wandering around, and the guy cracking a whip and abusing people. It's just... And song after song, the songs are great, but I'll take a Dylan version of those songs anytime over their versions of the cast album. I did like Tom Sesma. It's the only thing I like. The guy playing Captain Arab, the nasty ringmaster. He has the right voice for this material in a Dylan slash Broadway context.
Mm-hmm.
Only reason to even bother looking at The Times They Are Changing. Give it a miss. And now, what you saw? What you saw? Buttley this?
I saw Nathan Lane Buttley.
Nathan Lane. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it seems that they've taken away the word "in," so on the marquee and everything, it says Nathan Lane Buttley, which is what I think a lot of people expected to see.
Okay.
And what we got was Nathan Lane in that old boring play, Buttley.
You saw the original Buttley, didn't you?
Yes.
And you thought it was boring then, right?
I thought it was bad, like. 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was bored then and kind of bored. I was bored last week. Although Nathan Lane shows he's a good actor, he really does stretch his acting muscles. And I thought his English accent was fairly believable.
Okay.
And I thought it was okay, but it's like in this very boring play. It's about a guy having a bad day.
A really bad professor.
He just came back from a break, and he's in there, and he doesn't want to really be there. And then his wife comes in. He finds out his wife was dating one of his. It's not a friend of his, but he's like the most boring man in England, he says. But he like constantly talks to the guy, and then he didn't know his wife was not only dating him, but his wife comes in and says, "I'm marrying him. Goodbye."
Right.
And then his boyfriend kind of dumps him on the same day, but it's so drawn out. And nothing else goes on during the play.
A lot of stuff is on the telephone, which I was taught a long time ago.
Of stuff on the telephone.
So, well, it seemed like in the first time he always seemed to be answering a phone call or waiting for the phone to start ringing or something like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I had seen Buttley. No, the weird thing was Nathan Lane was interested in this material, and he did the show 2 years ago in Boston. And I saw it there, and I agree completely with you. It was just not a particularly dramatic or interesting show, whether or not he was the lead is the play itself. And I was just like, okay, he got it out of his system. If it had been really great, it would have brought it immediately to Broadway.
And it's not really all that ha-ha funny.
Well, okay, I can live with that.
No, I could live with that, too, but the way they're billing it, it's Nathan Lane Buttley. People are looking for this big, heavy kind. They're trying to laugh at every second.
Well, you can't do it. And when I saw it in Boston, it was a smarter audience. They were expecting to laugh, but they knew it wasn't going to be producers, too. And yet, you know, everybody's looking at it like, well, this is kind of, And I was shocked 2 years later when they still broke it to Broadway. I don't know why.
It's only a mediocre play. But I must tell you, I'd say a good 20-30% of the audience left after intermission.
Wow.
If not before, a couple of people picked up and walked out during the first act.
Wow.
I was really surprised at that.
Yeah, I mean, you figure it was a long first act.
And they weren't on the aisle. They were like four or five seats in.
Well, maybe it was a bathroom break or something like that.
No, not when both of them grabbed their coats and...
Ooh.
And
there's a tree outside the theater, so maybe it's still...
And the guy behind me kept murmuring, "Oh, this show isn't very good. I'm not enjoying..." And he kept talking. Everyone in the audience going, they're like looking at him to shut him up.
Well, unfortunately, we've got to shut up about the theater now because we've got to close the show. But Grey Gardens... pretty strong thumbs up from me. Times Era is changing. Strong thumbs down from me. And Grinch, and Butley from Jeff.
A moderate thumbs down.
Moderate thumbs down from Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Well, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, MortgagesRock.com. God has a plan for you, giving your friends and family mortgage loans. Learn how at MortgagesRock.com. Fully licensed in New York State and in heaven. They'll teach you the ropes so you can climb Jacob's ladder to high, high, high commissions. Rockin' my mortgage, MortgagesRock.com. Rockin' my mortgage, MortgagesRock.com. Rockin' my mortgage, MortgagesRock.com. Everybody point and click. So, you don't have satellite radio, you don't have an iPod or 100 music channels on your cable? Doesn't matter! Live365.com has dozens of radio stations in all sorts of formats absolutely free. And one station, DFSX Radio, plays vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By. I've even put their link on davesgoneby.org. So just click to hear music and talk and me free on DFSX. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. We didn't, unfortunately, have time, as Jeff wanted to talk about the big news out of Iraq this week. With
die, Saddam, die.
They're selling postcards of the hanging, as Bob Dylan would have said.
So Saddam will be well hung?
Well, better hung than Adrienne Shelley, I think. Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
This has been
at least
one...
it wasn't a PWAC joke. What?
It's a mortifying show, I must tell you.
Well, we're not mortified to thank... That makes no sense at all. We're proud to thank Daphne Rubin-Vega for being
Isn't
on...
Isn't she wonderful?
She was delightful.
And thank Daphne, just for being you, because you're wonderful.
And you know how to thank her? Also, buy her new CD, Redemption Songs. It's on the... What label is this? Big Fat Sweets production. BigFatSweet.com. 2006 copy. I'm assuming
it's available
homemade,
in the...
But you can also go to DaphneRubin/Vega.com. There's a little, you know, it's hyphenated like a real name.
So DaphneRubin-Vega.
Dash Vega, thank you. .com. And it's kind of neat. I played a song from it earlier, and we're going to go out with the last song on the CD, The Rainbow Connection. I know.
Oh.
That's the Muppet song. Kind of nice version she does of it. So we'll be going out on that. Thank you very much to her, and catch her, of course, in Les Mis, opening this week on Broadway. I want to also thank my wife, Joyce, for being wonderful and delightful and the love of my life, as always. Thanks to Nihal Gregoire, Pamuk, and Iskandar for a wonderful day in New York. Or, actually, it wasn't in New York. It was a wonderful day in Long Island. Some plugs, Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, The Bible of Broadway, MortgagesRock.com, where you learn how to be a mortgage broker, Hewlett Minuteman Press, which is the... Let's see, the Copy Kings of Broadway, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners, and Fancy Schmancy Balloons, which is owned and operated by...
Me!
Jeff Goodman. How can people get your centerpieces and balloons?
Call 516-797-3229.
What was that number one more time?
516-797-3229.
Yes, indeed. Indecent Exposure Radio, Saturday nights, starts at midnight on Saturdays, goes to 6 a.m. on Sundays on 1460 a.m. WVOX in New Rochelle. Yes, Jeff?
And don't forget to thank your number one fan.
Oh, thank you, Pam. I hope you're listening. Thanks for being my number one. Watch, tonight she's not listening, but I hope you are. I hope you enjoyed the Daphne interview. Joyce Keller, Wednesday nights at 11 on this station, WGBB AM 1240. Give her a listen. She's the longest running psychic on radio, I believe. Well, she'd know it intuitively. Vic Fusco, Swing City Vic. Really one of the only places you can get swing music on the dial, 9 p.m. on Sundays, again, on this station, WGBB. And speaking of radio stations, I'm going to be back at WUSB-FM in Stony Brook tomorrow afternoon. I'll be taking part in a Robin Hitchcock Festival. Honest to God, only station, really, that would do something like that.
That's the Alfred Hitchcock.
That's the Alfred. Oh, yes, yes. I get it now. Yes, Robin Hitchcock, I love his music, have for a long time. And they're doing about 8 hours from 2:30 in the afternoon until 10 at night. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be on mic for certain parts of it. I'll also be taking phone calls during their radiothon. And if you go to the website, WUSB.FM, you can hear my 2 gigs, and not 2 gigabytes, but the two, I did 2 fill-in shows there this week. Late nights from 3 in the morning until 6:30 in the morning.
So if you couldn't stay up from 3 until 6.
You can hear it anytime from now until next, like Wednesday or Thursday, on their website. Just go to their program guide and look for, it won't be under my name, it'll be under what the normal show is. But 3 o'clock to 6:30 going from Wednesday night into Thursday, and again from Friday night into Saturday, live streaming, and the sound quality is great, and I played a lot of really good music.
If you do say so yourself.
Yes, and another opportunity to...
Did you do a good job, David?
I did a better job on Friday than on Wednesday. I was kind of ragged out, because I'd seen 2 shows. I saw a matinee in the afternoon, a show at night, and then I went to Stony Brook and got on the air at 3 in the morning, so I was gone. I was just completely... I don't even know what I was saying. But Friday I was a little more compos mentis, even though I saw 2 shows on Friday also, but there were more... like group together. Anyway, gotta wrap this up. Catch a Vintage Dave's Gone By episode every Thursday night and every Saturday night at 11 on DFSX Radio, where you can listen on the web through my website, davesgoneby.org. Well, I will be back, and hopefully Jeff will be back next week, November 12th, with TJ and Dave, and me. I'm a different Dave. TJ and Dave is an improv comedy and acting team that has made it kind of big in Chicago, and now they're bringing their stuff here, so they're doing it off Broadway, and they seem like a lot of fun, so I'll be talking to them next Sunday the 12th, and just to let you know, I won't be here on the 19th, but we'll be back on the 26th. So, next Sunday, the 196th edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by, and remember, vote on Tuesday, even if you just go into the booth.
Vote early, vote often.
But I mean this. Even if you say, oh, there's nobody to vote for, I hate them all, go into the booth, don't vote for anybody, but sign in, pull the lever, because it counts. It meant you were there, and you showed that you hated everybody enough not to vote for them, but at least you showed up.
You showed up.
That's
not
a statement, right, as opposed to not showing up at all. So, anyway, no joke there, just being serious. This is Dave Lefkowitz. And
Jeff Goodman.
Good night. Everybody, make a rainbow connection.
Vote and gone by.
Why are there so many songs about?